morning, and stand with me if you're able. We're going to be in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Just past Timothy to Titus. It's kind of fitting how God put this message and the call to worship together, both talking about amazing. This is titled, I'm Still Amazed. I'm Still Amazed. So starting in verse 3 of chapter 3 of Titus, it says, For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, again, what a blessing it is to have this opportunity to look into Your Word and have You speak to us, each one, again this morning personally. Father, we thank You for how amazing You are, and I pray, Father, that we are truly still amazed. And I pray, Father, that You'd speak to us now, and that we'll not fail to give You all the praise, for it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amazement is defined as a strong feeling of astonishment or wonder. Sounds good, huh? There are some things in this life that absolutely amaze me. You know, I am fascinated with architecture, especially from way back when. I like to look at stuff that was built in the 1800s and 1900s as in our area. I was fortunate enough to get to go to Pennsylvania, and we saw some stuff that's much older than that. And I was just, I was in awe about looking at all the architecture and all that stuff. And I was amazed at how the detail of what they were able to build without all of the modern tools that we have today. And then I look at what we build today, and I'm like, really? We have all these modern tools and all this stuff, and this is the best we can come up with? Look at what they did with nothing. And so it just amazes me, some of that stuff, as I see that. I see, as I've been traveling more now than I used to, because having kids in Colorado and going down to the conference in Texas and all, and I had a job at one point. I had to go to Atlanta, Georgia and all, and I leave our little airport out here, and I get into some of these places, and I'm amazed at how big they are. They're like cities of their own, and it's amazing to me that I have to get off out of the gate and go get on a tram and go all the way to another world, it seems like, just to get my luggage. It's like crazy. Or you get off one plane, and you get off the gate, and then you got to get on a tram, and you got to go to the other end of the world to get your connecting flight. And those things kind of just amaze me. I'm amazed at the fact that God gave me two beautiful girls that I was able to raise with my wife, and the opportunity to be their dad. And just amazing. And I'm amazed that my wife, after 34 years, still loves me. So, I mean, I can be unlovable sometimes, I got to tell you. But she supports me and she respects me, and I thank God for her. And so these things just are amazing to me. But I'm also amazed by God's creation. You know, I can stand in a valley and look up at mountains and just go, wow, God did that. Or I can stand on a mountain. My wife and I got the opportunity to go to Loveland Pass, 11,990 feet up, and look out and over the valley. Oh, man, what a beautiful sight, and see that God created all of that. A sunrise or sunset, I like those things. Some nights I just, you know, we get home on Thursday night, I got to put the trash out for Friday morning, and I'll walk down to the end of the driveway with the trash barrel, and I look up in the sky and the stars and the moon, and those things just amaze me that God has done all of that. And then my wife and I, on a few occasions with our kids, have been able to go out to the ocean and stand on the shore of the ocean and just look out and just be amazed at how vast everything is out there. And these things just amaze me. And there are some things that once did excite me or amaze me, and they just don't have that effect any longer. They just don't. I remember for years, my all-time favorite car is a 1969 Z28 Camaro. I wanted one in the worst way. I would have probably given just about anything to have one, and God never let me have one. Today, it's lost its appeal. I don't care. People go, well, if you had that car today, it's worth a fortune. It is worth a fortune, but it just, you know, I like going and looking at cars, but somebody else can own them and somebody else can take care of them and all that. It just has lost its appeal. It's just not there anymore. I remember God allowed me to have a boat, and I enjoyed the boat, and my family enjoyed the boat. We had some good times on the boat and all, but after my accident, I had to get rid of the boat. I now no longer have a desire to have one. I just don't. It's gone. And so there's some things that once really were amazing to us that are no longer amazing to us. Do you remember as being a kid that you couldn't wait till you could be an adult? That, man, wait till I get to be an adult. I get to make my own decisions. I get to live where I want. I get to do what I want. I get to, yeah, right. How'd all that work? Now you get to that stage and you've got the mortgage and the bills and the everything piled, and you think, man, I just wish I was a kid again. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff, right? I don't have to deal with any of it. It would be so nice. But some things that once amazed us, once reality has set in, the thrill's gone. It's no longer there. It's no longer there. So I want you to know, though, there are some things that still amaze me. Some things that still amaze me. But nothing more than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a group called the Perrys, and they sang a song called I'm Still Amazed. We're going to see that throughout this message. But it starts with, I've never got over that I'm not under the bondage of sin anymore. I'm still amazed that Jesus would pay a debt I could not afford. I've never got past that I'm free at last from sin that made me a slave, and I still feel as much as when He first touched me. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free, and I'm still in awe that He gave it all for an old sinner like me. I've never got over that this King would shoulder my sin in all its disgrace. Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. There's not enough time this morning to even scratch the surface, even a little bit, concerning the fact of our personal relationship that we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to hit on a few points. I want to look at, I'm still amazed by God's love. I'm still amazed by God's salvation. I'm still amazed by God's grace. I'm still amazed by God's mercy. And I'm still amazed by God's Son. I'm still amazed by God's love. In verses 3 and 4 of our text, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Sometimes we are, every one of us, if we're truthful, we are hard to love. I mean, there's just times when we are. We just are. I'm thankful for my parents that love me no matter what. Thankful for my wife and my children. They love me no matter what. Thankful for a church family that hopefully you love me no matter what, right? I mean, it's nice to have people that love, even though they know us, they still love us. I'm thankful for that. They love us anyhow. Do you know that God knows more about you than anyone? He does. He knows your actions, He knows your thoughts, He knows what you've done, and He knows what you are going to do. Knowing all this, He loves you anyway. To me, that's amazing. That's amazing. In verse 3, Paul paints a picture of the old man, or the person before Christ. Before, and he says, foolish. Foolish. Without understanding or ignorant of the things concerning God. Disobedient, which means we just are rebellious towards God. Deceived, which continually led deeper into sin by Satan. Serving divers lusts and pleasures means we're a slave to the desires of the flesh. Living in malice, which refers to a lifestyle of evil. Envy, always grasping for more and desiring what other people have. Hateful. This is a natural fruit of all the rest of those above this. The kind of life that makes one mean-spirited and hard to live with, or hard to get along with. Hating one another, walking without love for your fellow man. I don't know about you, but that describes somebody who's hard to love. Hard to love. But Paul says this in verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. Means in spite of what we once were. In spite of once we once were, and in actuality, we still are. We still are. God chose to love us. God chose to love us. I've said for years that love is a choice. People say, well, I just don't love them anymore. Love is a choice. So if you don't love someone anymore, it's because you chose not to. Love is a choice. God chose to love us. We have to choose to love Him. We have to choose to love one another. It's a choice. It's a choice. People say, well, I just don't love them. No, you chose not to. You have the opportunity to choose to love someone or not to love someone. It's a choice. And we choose whichever way we go with that. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Made that choice. He knows us. He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son to make a way that we could be reconciled to Him. To Him. Still amazed at God's love. Still amazed by God's salvation. Titus chapter 3, the second part of verse 5 and verse 6. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Webster's defines salvation as the act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. In other words, rescued from harm, rescued from danger, rescued from destruction. That's what God did for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That great penalty for our sin. That great penalty for our sin. And God sent His Son to pay that sin debt in our place. So that we could be saved. So that we could be saved. Destined for hell. And Jesus Christ came and gave us a way of escape. In verses 5 and 6, salvation through Christ did a few things for us. We were lost and He saved us. We were defiled and He washed us. We were dead and He made a way of regeneration. We were empty, and he filled us with the Holy Spirit, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, religion is man's way of trying to get to God. That's religion. Salvation is God coming down to man. God has done that. It's said many times that salvation is free, and it is, but it is not cheap. It cost God the very best he had. His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. In verse 6 it says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. If you look at the cross, you will see much reason that we should be amazed. Much reason. Why would God ever want to leave heaven's glory and come down here to be nailed to a tree? Amazes me. Just amazes me. I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free, and I'm still in awe that he gave it all for an old sinner like me. I've never got over that this king would shoulder my sin in all its disgrace. Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh yes, I am still amazed. Not only am I amazed at salvation as a whole, there are certain elements of salvation that amaze me. In verse 5, as we get there, I want to look at, I'm still amazed by God's mercy. Titus 3:5, the first part, not by works of righteousness which we have done, because we couldn't do any, but according to his mercy he saved us. His mercy. Because of God's mercy towards us, we don't deserve the punishment, or we didn't receive, the punishment that we deserve. Each and every person here today, born again believers in Jesus Christ, deserve to spend eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. We get this idea that we don't deserve that. But we still do. That's what we deserve. Thank God we're not getting that, but that's what we deserve. And sometimes we get this idea that we're so much better than lost people because we're not going to hell. But we still deserve it. We still deserve that. They deserve it. We deserve it. The only difference between us is that we, by God's mercy and grace, cried out for salvation in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're saved from hell. But that's still what we deserve. We can never do enough good works to escape deserving hell. We can't. But we are saved, and we are delivered from hell, and we're delivered from that punishment. And the only reason is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because verse 5 tells us, not of works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his grace, he saved us. By his mercy and his grace. Thank God for that. People who have never been saved are headed to hell. Hell. A literal place. People say, well, it doesn't really exist. Yes, it does. It does exist. God wouldn't say it existed if it didn't exist. God wouldn't say that there's a possibility that people could end up there by rejecting Jesus Christ. There's not a possibility. It's a given. God's mercy and his grace, he made a way through his Son for us to be able to escape that. Thankful. 41 years ago, I experienced that mercy and that grace. And yet I'm still amazed. Still amazed. Still amazed by God's grace in verse 7 of our text. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. While mercy is not deserving what we do deserve, grace is receiving something that we never could deserve. Nothing we could ever do to deserve it. He went much, much further than that. We are now His, and He is ours. I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard to fathom sometimes, that we are His and He is ours. He's our Savior. He's the one that provides every need that we have. He's there for us every moment of every day. I don't know about you, but I don't know too many people I could pick up the phone and call at 3 o'clock in the morning and they'd be thrilled to hear from me. But I'll tell you what, if I'm awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and I cry out to God, He's listening. And He cares. And He cares. I have to tell you, most people who call me at 3 o'clock in the morning might hear, I hope this is important, or it better be important, one or the other. And it just happens to come out when the phone rings in the middle of the night. I don't know what happens. It just, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I want to be asleep. At 2 o'clock, you might catch me up. But at 3 o'clock, I'd like to be asleep. So it happens. But God is always available. Does that amaze you? I mean, when you look at what they say, there's 7 billion people on earth. And if there's 7 billion people, and God is there ready and willing and able to listen to everyone, those who are lost to cry out for salvation, those who are saved to cry out to Him for help, or to just let Him know how much you love and care about Him and how much you want to please Him. Just any, and He's there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I don't know, if 7 billion people are talking all at once, I don't think I could keep track of it all. I have a hard enough trouble with 3 or 4 talking at once. Nothing drives me more nuts than when I go to Terry's house, and I'm over there to take care of bills and stuff and work with him. He's got Fox News on, and on there they got 5 people that sit up there. They all talk at the same time. I said, would you people just shut up? One at a time, please. I told him, I said, how can you watch that? I can't make out what any of them are saying. Just think, 7 billion people talking all at once. Now, obviously, there's not that many people saved, and also, all right, so what if we cut it all the way down to 1 billion? Could you still do that? No. That just amazes me that He could do that. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Our works will never be enough, but His grace is sufficient. We find that because of His grace, we are justified. The justification, God pardons. Through justification, God pardons all the sins of those who believe in Christ Jesus. God doesn't just pardon our sins. He initiates a personal relationship with each one of us. I tell people all the time, I'm not just a Christian, I'm a born-again Christian with a personal relationship with my Savior. So you got religion? No, I don't have religion. I have a personal relationship with God. There's a difference. Pharisees and the Sadducees had religion, right? I mean, read the book. They had religion. Where to get them? Yeah, religion, as I already mentioned, is man's way of trying to reach up to God. Salvation is God coming down to man. I got news for you. We couldn't get there no matter how hard we try. But He came to us and initiates a personal relationship with us. He walks with us intimately. He cares for us immensely. And He blesses us immeasurably. I don't know about you, but I look back over the blessings in my life and I just think, if salvation is all I got, just to be freed from the bondage of sin, just to be freed from the eternity in hell, that would be enough. But oh my, the blessings are amazing. And He just keeps pouring them out. Can you imagine? Not only that, but we are going to get to live with Him forever. Forever. God took everything we have seen thus far and wrapped it up and gave it to us in the form of His Son. Form of His Son. And I want to look at, I'm still amazed by God's Son. In verse 6, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The name of Jesus is amazing. The Bible tells us in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing name. Jesus left heaven's glory, as I mentioned already, came to earth, took on a robe of flesh, and was the ultimate sacrifice for mankind. The ultimate. There's no greater sacrifice ever given than the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm amazed this stranger would accept a manger and trade for a kingly throne. And I'm still at a loss why He'd take the cross instead of a street of pure gold. He's the only king who gave everything in exchange for a cold, dark grave. And I still love to ponder this God-given wonder. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. And I'm still in awe that He gave it all for an old sinner like me. I've never got over that this king would shoulder my sin and all its disgrace. Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. Everything about Jesus Christ is amazing. Everything. I jotted down a few things. He was born of a virgin. Lived a sinless life. He taught with authority. He healed the sick. Cleansed the lepers. Made the blind to see, caused the deaf to hear, caused the dumb to speak, made the lame to walk, cast out demons, raised people from the dead, laid down His life, paid the ultimate sacrifice, rose from the grave, ascended to heaven, sat down on the right hand of the Father. He has provided atonement for our sins. He is making intercession on our behalf. He has forgiven our sins, saved our souls from hell, changed our lives, provided eternal life. He has gone to prepare a place. He promised to come again to receive us. Then He has defeated sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. One day, He'll split the eastern sky with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. He's going to call the children home. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that shout. I'm looking forward to that trump. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. When we'll rise. We'll rise. I got news for you. We're going to rise up out of this world of sorrow and death and destruction. We're going to rise out of all of this. And so shall we ever be with Him. Wow. You go, well, when's it going to happen? I don't know. I just know it is. I just know it is. And that's just a few reasons why I'm still amazed at God's only begotten Son. Just amazed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody who has that resume? And people say, he was just a good man who walked the earth. How many people you know could do all those things? I think of one. The Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. No one else. There's some that have never met Jesus. Some in the world that have never met Him. And they don't understand that even though God made a way with His love and His mercy and His grace and salvation, salvation. They don't understand. They don't understand that they can never do enough good to outweigh the bad. These people who say, well, I'm hoping the good outweigh the bad, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Our good can never outweigh the bad. I think of the Bible talks about our righteousness is as filthy rags before Almighty God. And we think our good is going to get us to heaven. How could man even think such a thing? I'm really amazed that what God has done already. I'm kind of amazed that He is as long-suffering as He is. I'm kind of amazed that His mercy and His grace extends further than I can even imagine. I don't know about you, but I look at this old sin-cursed world and I think, man, God, why don't you just burn this thing up? Get it over with. Just be done with it. I mean, can you imagine? Brother Fred even mentioned in Sunday school. Can you imagine? Just, why not just destroy it all and be done with it? I mean, God. Thank God. He's God, huh? Well, I'll tell you, I don't think any one of mankind would have enough long-suffering, enough patience to put up with us. I just don't think we would. I mean, we can't put up with one another when get out on the road, right? This was brought out. We can't put up with one another if you're invade my space. We can't put up with one another for just about anything. We seem to let every little thing get to us. Can you imagine how many little things God has going on? I mean, we keep Him busy, don't we? We keep Him busy. And to think that, I don't know, it's just amazing to me that He just hadn't said, you know, enough is enough, I'm done with you. I'm wondering if you ever think, you know what, I should just never have even created man. But I don't think He ever thinks that. I just don't. I'm just amazed that we have a God that just loves us so much. That in spite of how we treat Him, He still loves us. And I believe He's thankful that He created us. How else can you explain sending His only begotten Son to die for us? Because I got news for you. If He didn't love us so much and didn't care so much about us and wasn't so thrilled that He created us, then why did it not, when Adam sinned, why didn't you just say, you know what? Discard them and be done. I'll just have animals from now on. I'll just have the trees. I'll just have the plant life. I'll just have the fish and the birds and all that and forget about man. But He didn't. Is that not amazing to you? I mean, it's amazing to me. Amazing to me that He puts up with us. For all of those that have been saved, are you still amazed by Jesus? Fortunately, when we look at Christianity today, it seems that professing Christians have simply gotten over their amazement. Just gotten over it. How many times have you heard professing Christians say, "He's the man upstairs"? That just grates on my every nerve. He's not the man upstairs. He's God. And we need to treat him as such. They've gotten over it. They've gotten over it. They've gotten over how amazing he is. They've gotten over how awesome he is. They've gotten over how powerful he is. I don't know. When I hear that, sometimes I think, let me just step over here, because when lightning strikes, I just don't want to be too close. Now, I get it that God could hit his target. It's not that I'm afraid he might. I'm just thinking that shockwaves of the target might be, I might be too close, you know. We know how I feel about some things, and I just don't want any of that on me, you know, when they're exploding from that lightning bolt. It amazes me how people treat him. He's God. And yet we've gotten over it. When you look at their lives, when you examine their actions and their priorities, it seems that the thrill is gone in their lives. How many of us know people that were on fire for God, were in church every service, and now you don't see them at all? You ask them about their spiritual life and they want to change the subject. What happened? They got over it. They're no longer amazed. I believe wholeheartedly that if you're still amazed by Jesus Christ, it's going to show. It's going to show in your life. It's going to show in your actions. It's going to show in everything you do. You're still amazed. You'll follow what he said when he proclaimed, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love the Lord your God, thy God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." I don't know how many professing Christians have ever grasped that "love your neighbor as yourself." I mean, we want to do like the Pharisee, "Who's my neighbor?" Look around. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. "Not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." That means we're supposed to show up. "Give to the Lord. Give him your time. Give him your talents. Give him your treasures." You'll talk with him. That's prayer. You'll allow him to speak to you. That's opening this book. Let him speak to you. The study of his word. We were to examine our lives. Do these actions and attributes describe us? These few here. Do we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Are we not forsaking the assembling of the saints together? Are we giving him our time, our talents, our treasures? Are we allowing him to talk to us? Are we spending time with him? If those things are there, then we should still be amazed. We should still be amazed. After we see everything he's done, and this is barely scratching the surface, but just this, after we see just this, shouldn't it want to make us live for him? Shouldn't it give us a desire to live for him? I know that I fall short. I just do. I mean, I'll tell you, days get so full of so much stuff, and every time you turn around, something else is pulling at you, and you sometimes just get distracted, and I fall short. I'm just being honest. There's some times when, you know, I'm out on the road and I'm thinking the same thing Brother Fred thinks. What are you people doing over here? Shouldn't you be in your own lane over there? They spent all that money for that. Shouldn't you use the bike lane? I mean, Nowadays, what are they doing? They're taking car lanes and they're making them bike lanes, and the bikes are still in the car lanes. I'm not saying we shouldn't share the road. I didn't say they shouldn't give them a bike lane. I'm just saying, how can somebody on a bike do 55 miles an hour? They can't. Thank God for bike lanes and all that. I think everybody should have some use of the road, but stay where you're supposed to be. I just fall short sometimes. Are we spending as much time with God as we should? Are we reading His Word like we should? Are we studying His Word? You know? I remember years ago I was told, well, I don't need to study. That's for the pastor. I just have to show up in church and then I get what I need to. I got news for you. If you're just relying on what I'm getting, because when I study, you don't get everything I get. I don't have time for everything I get. We'd be here all night. And some of you feel like we are most of the time, but we just, it's the way it is. God expects every one of His children to take that time and to study. Spend time with Him. How much time do we spend in our prayer life? Are we amazed at the fact that when we pray, He hears and answers? I mean, over and over and over we've seen answered prayer. But I fall short. And I'm not willing, I'm not proud of that, but I'm willing to admit I fall short. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to my Lord and Savior, I am still amazed. Still amazed. I hope I never lose that. I hope I never lose that. And the way not to lose that is to follow some of those things. If we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank You for Your Word, and I pray, Father, that we will always be amazed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the many, 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 many things that He has done for us and continues to do on our behalf. Just the fact that He continually makes intercession on our behalf is amazing. Father, we thank You for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know many people who have not come to that saving knowledge yet. I pray, Father, that as we have a list that we pray over, I pray, Father, that those that maybe we haven't announced and put on the list, that You would just give us such a desire for lost souls that we would want to share with them so that they could have that amazing, amazing grace that we are so thrilled about. Father, for Christians here this morning, I pray for each one of us that we would never lose that amazing grace, never lose that amazing reality of who Jesus Christ is, not ever refer to Him as the man upstairs, but in awe, worship and adore Him. Father, as we have a time of invitation this morning, we're going to turn it over to You. We're going to let You have Your way with us this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able to stand with me, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed as the piano plays this morning, are you still amazed? Or have you gotten over it? If you've gotten over it, probably need to do something about that. The altar's open this morning.